إن الحمد لله نحمده واستعينه واستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها فان كل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار وتعيد الله سبحانه وتعالى ان يدعو ان يرزق بريز I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. Let seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And the seal of all the prophets. So Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worth of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Today, which is Tuesday, the 23rd of Shawwal for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 9th of February, the 9th of February for the year 1999. And today, inshallah, this will be our second class concerning the subject of Hajj, not counting the introduction. So if you want to say that this is the third class, it's fine, but this is the second class concerning the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram. And last week, if I'm not mistaken, we had discussed the book of Hajj concerning the virtues of Hajj, and we covered this in until hadith number 589, and after this we talk about the miqat or the station which the people they could not proceed before they perform their intention and they return themselves for the Hajj or the Umrah, which was the second chapter. And this has been covered until hadith number 591. And after this we talk about manners and nature of Ihram. And we mentioned that there is three types of performance which the person can go with the intention of performing Hajj only, so that the person can combine Hajj and Umrah together without separation between them, or that he may perform what you call tamattu', that means he made Hajj and Umrah in the same season, but after he finished his Umrah, he will engage in the regular type of lifestyle until the time of Hajj, and he will make and declare a new intention for Hajj. This was a chapter, the third chapter, which covered from Hadith number 592. And after this, we have a new chapter for today, which is concerning باب الإحرام وما يتعلق به. Chapter 4, which is in page number 251, the Ihram and its related activities. Hadith number 593. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: ما أهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا من عند المسجد. متفق عليه. This hadith, which is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليهما, and the hadith narrated by Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he did not make his talbiyah and his intention except by the mosque. As we explained in the previous class, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had made miqat or a station for each country or those who will come and travel by this country. So surrounding Mecca, Rasulullah ﷺ had both in each direction, the east, the west, the north, the south, both a country and name a place. Any person who coming to Mecca with the intention of making Umrah or Hajj, he is not supposed to pass this station without having his intention ready and changing his regular clothes to al-ihram. So what this hadith is telling us, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not make his ihram except by the mosque, which is of Dhul-Hulaifa. This place called Dhul-Hulaifa, today we call it Abar Ali, the wells of Ali, Abar, okay, which he gets the water from the ground. And this is plural for the word Bi'r. Abar Ali is the places where is this water used to come. They call it Abar Ali. So he tried to tell us that the Prophet ﷺ did not make his talbiyah and his intention in indulging in the ihram for the Hajj until he went to the mosque that were in this area. Why is he telling us this? Some people, they assume that if I made my intention and then changed my regular clothes to the clothes of Ihram ahead of time, that I get more reward. Okay? The reward, you get it as a result of following the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not by inventing, not by assumption. If you want to get the reward and your deed to be acceptable by Allah, follow the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here he's saying that he did not do it until he reached the mosque of Dhul-Hulaifa. That means it's telling us that we are not supposed to do it from any other place if we are residents of Al-Madina, or if we are a traveler and coming from the direction coming through the Medina. So any person who living in Medina, where it's a mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, approximately about, say about 450 miles, kilo, okay, if you live in Medina, or you're coming from this direction, like people, as example, coming from Syria or Jordan, or coming from this direction, so this is the station for them to make their talbiyah and intention for Hajj. Hadith number 594, وعن خلاد ابن السائب عن أبيه رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أتاني جبريل فأمرني أن آمر أصحابي أن يرفعوا أصواتهم بالإهلال. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban. Hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban, and reported by Khalad ibn Sa'id from his father, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel, the angel Gabriel alayhi salam, came to me and command me to command my companion to raise their voice with al-talbiyah, al-ihlal. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is authentic, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that Jibreel had came him and told him to order his companions. Okay? So, the sunnah is to raise the voice with the talbiyah. To such a degree that some of the sahaba used to scream with it. Okay? Raise your voice with a talbiyah. This include men and women. Alright? Everybody make talbiyah. And the permissibility or the sunnah of raising the voice. Talbiyah to say labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. Okay? That here, my Lord, I am at your service. Okay? I am here. There is no partner beside you. Okay? Indeed, the praise and the kingdom are belong to you and in your hands. Next hadith, which is page number 252, hadith number 595, وعن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تجرد لإهلاله واغتسل. رواه الترمذي وحسنه, and the hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, that reported from Zayd ibn Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed all his regular clothes and he took a shower before his ihram. A person who intends to make Umrah or Hajj, we're talking about men, that he could not have the regular clothes, t-shirt, underwear, soap, kameez, tie, kufi, turban, socks, okay? So when he says that the Prophet ﷺ tajarrada, remove all these clothes that they used to wear it, and he has a special dress for ihram, which is like the towel, okay? The towel that you dry yourself when you come from the shower, is exactly this what it is. So it's not a soiled clothes, it's not made up for the wearing or everyday. So this is one of the conditions for your ihram, that you have to remove all this regular clothes that you wear it for everyday use. And also it is recommended that the person to have ghusl, okay, to wash before he made his talbiyah and his intention. The ghusl also recommended for the women. But as we understand, women, they make ihram with their regular clothes. The only thing that they will expose their face and their hands. Okay? Doesn't matter now what is the color, if it's black, if it's white. No anything says that the woman has to wear white when she go for Hajj or Umrah. She can make Umrah and Hajj in the same regular clothes. The only condition that if she one of the women who wear a niqab, cover her face, or wear gloves, that during the time of Umrah and Hajj, she will remove the gloves and the face veil. Although there is a permissibility, excuse me, I have a problem with my mouth. Although that the women, they supposed to uncover their face and their hands, but if men pass by them or they are in the midst of men, they can put something to cover their face, they understand, during the presence of these people, and after the dead, they will remove it again, okay? But concerning men, for them to remove all the regular clothes, this is a must. It is a must. Except if a person has a sickness, and we going to explain later on, if a person has a sickness, what he can do to make up for wearing the regular clothes. The next hadith, which hadith number 596, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل ما يلبس المحرم من الثياب فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يلبس القميص ولا العمائم ولا السراويلات ولا البرانس ولا الخفاف إلا أحد لا يجد نعلين فيلبس الخفين وليقطعهما أسفل من الكعبين ولا تلبسوا شيئا من الثياب مسه الزعفران ولا الورق. متفق عليه. This hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليهما. So the hadith is authentic, reported by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم been questioned concerning what a person in the state of ihram, or the person he is muhrim, should he wear, okay? In the state of ihram, or he's a muhrim. Why? Because certain activities became haram for him. As example, being intimate with his wife, okay? Not by action, not by talk. As example, it's forbidden for him to hunt, okay? And it's forbidden for him to remove his hair intentionally, the hair of his head or any hair, any facial hair, head, part, body, anywhere, okay? Cutting the nails, okay? So there are certain activities became forbidden for this man, so we call he is in a state of ihram, or his muhrim, that certain activities became forbidden for him. So he is this in the area of prohibition, okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been questioned concerning what a person that in a state of al-ihram, what he can wear concerning clothes, okay? He said he is not supposed to wear the qamis. And qamis, this what is known to us today, that thawb, okay? Like what I'm wearing, this we call it thawb. They used to call this is qamis, okay? Not the shirt, like the business shirt that we wear today, okay, like what Brother Naeem wearing, okay, or using this called shirt, call it qamis, even the Arabs, they call it qamis now. But what used to be known to the Prophet ﷺ as qamis is what we call it today, what? Thawb, okay? So he said he's not supposed to wear the qamis, the thawb. Neither imama, turban, okay? Nor sirwal, like a pants, okay, the pants. وَلَا الْبَرَانِسِ Baranis is the head cover for a man that attached to the thawb, like the Morocco style. Morocco style, you will have this thing like a triangle over the head attached to the thawb. This coat here, like a hood. Exactly. Okay? وَلَا الْخِفَافِ The khuf. Okay? Except a person that he could not except a person that he could not get sandal and wear shoes in which he must cut them below the ankle. Okay? If you could not find a slipper or a sandal or something like this, now you will wear a regular shoes, but you have to cut it, to cut the back of it, not to be covering the place of wudu. Because the shoes is the regular wearing every day. Okay? So you could not wear a boot, neither you can wear a shoe. So if you could not find a slipper or a sandal or something different, now you will take the shoes and cut the back of it. Okay? So it will be enough only to slide your feet in it, but not covering the back of your feet. Now this will be acceptable. وَلَا تَلْبَسُوا شَيْئًا مِنَ الثِّيَابِ مَسَّهُ الزَّعْفَرَانُ. And don't wear anything which been has dye and saffron. Okay? There's like a yellowish color, this plant that you dye the clothes in it. So you are not supposed to have something that been dyed in this color, neither is something that have what which gave this pregnancy. You could not have this during the state of Ihram. Okay? And this is the last one, this related to men and women. The zafaran, saffron, you could not for women, not for men. Neither something that been in words that gave this color or gave this pregnancy. A person who in state of ihram, after you made your ihram and you declare your salbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, you could not burn perfume. A man may use perfume before. Okay? A man may be taking care of her husband needs and wants in things like personal things like putting perfume or preparing his clothes and things like this. And she used to also perfume the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he go to make the tawaf. Because when you go to make the tawaf, you already finish. You already finish performance of duties, part of the duties of Hajj, like going to Arafah and slaughtering your animal in Mina and throwing the jamarat. So now you can change your regular clothes. You can change now to your regular clothes. And you can go to make tawaf al-ifada, the tawaf for Hajj. So now it is permissible for you that you wear the regular clothes after you came from Arafah and you took care of this activity that you do in Mina. Now it is permissible for you to change your clothes. And it is permissible for you that you shave your head. And it's permissible for you that you can put perfume. Okay? Basically everything will be permissible except having intercourse with the wife. You could not do this until he will go and make the tawaf and the sa'i. Now after he finished tawaf and sa'i, now everything will be permissible for the person who make it hajj. Okay? Hadith number 598. وعن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح ولا يخطب رواه مسلم. Again, like I said, being in a state of Ihram, there are certain activities that is forbidden for you. And one of them, this was Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, narrating from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic, that when you are in a state of al-ihram, should not marry or give someone in marriage or make a proposal. Okay? So all these things related to marriage, you are prohibited to indulge in it. You do not propose. You do not make somebody wedding performing. You did not get married, neither somebody gives you in marriage, nothing, all these things, okay, will be seized during the time when you enter your ihram. Okay? Next hadith, which hadith number 599, page number 253. وعن أبي قتادة الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة صيده الحمار الوحشي وهو غير محرم. قال فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه وكانوا محرمين: هل منكم أحد أمره أو أشار إليه بشيء؟ قالوا لا. قال فقلوا ما بقي من لحمه. Okay. This again shows you also one of the things that when you are in a state of al-ihram. This is the story concerning this Sahabi, his name Abu Qatada, one from the Ansar. He was not performing Hajj or Umrah, he was not in a state of ihram. And he had hunted a donkey, okay, or the zebra. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions who are already in the state of al-ihram. Did any one of you point to him or suggest it to him or direct it to him or assist him by any means in hunting this? They said, no, Prophet of Allah. He said, so you can eat from this animal. Because when you are in the state of al-ihram, everything you understand from this thing is secret now. Everything is safe. You could not hunt the animal. Even if the deer come all the way to almost to the reach of your hand, you can put your hand like this, catch. What is the test? You see? You can be hungry, you can be starving. You see? And hear something in front of you. But in state of al-ihram, you could not be indulgent in this. Neither you can assist to somebody to do it. Everything going to have to be safe. Your hair, your nails, the animals, the birds. You could not even frighten the birds. You see, not hunting, you could not even hunt, frighten them. Especially the birds there inside the haram. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he questioned the Sahaba if anybody has anything to do with the hunting of this, those who are in a state of al-ihram, and none of them have anything to this. So now he permitted them to eat from the meat of this animal. Next hadith, hadith number 600, reported by Sa'd ibn Jathama al-Laythi radiallahu ta'ala an, أنه أهدى لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حمارا وحشيا وهو بالأبواء أبو الدان، فرده عليه وقال: إنا لم نرده عليك إلا أن حرم. متفق عليه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم a gift been presented to him which was meat been hunted by this Sahabi, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a state of al-ihram, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rejected and he said to him that because we are in a state of al-ihram. Okay. That this hadith, what it shows the difference between this hadith and the hadith before, if the person had hunted the animal specifically for the person in ihram, the hunter himself is not a muhrim, he's not in state of ihram, but he hunted it intentionally for those people who are in the state of ihram. So the people who are in a state of ihram could not eat from it. You see? But if you're hunting it for yourself, and after this, those people pass by you and you present something for them, this is a different story. You see? And this also shows something very nice in this hadith, that a person should explain sometimes why he rejects something which is lawful, or that you make the to be concerned about the people feeling. especially that somebody tried to be nice to you, tried to give you something. And after this, he said, no, I don't want it. Okay? So, if there is some Islamic objection about it, you should explain it to the person to make them feel good. Okay? As example, say, okay, I'm sorry that I'm a Muslim, and according to my belief, we could not drink this stuff. Okay? Somebody inviting you to Christmas party, as example. Okay? And feel disappointed. You say, thank you very much, but you see, we Muslims, we could not, again, it's my religion, that we could not be celebrating other things different from our feast, okay? Or that the person be explained to him, he may be giving, presenting you something halal, like what's happening here, that, thank you, but I could not eat because I'm fasting. I have some days that I have to make from Ramadan, so I could not really come today to eat lunch with you. So these are things that would be considering the people feeling, especially if they've been trying to be good to you, to give you something, while you are not going to utilize it or use it. Hadith number 601, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خمس من الدواب كلهن فواسق يقتلن في الحل والحرم العقرب والحدأة والغراب والفأرة والقلب العقور. Hadith is authentic. So although we understand that the person in the state of ihram, it's forbidden for him to harm, to do certain activities, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that there is five animals, okay, or five living things, dabba, anything that crawl or step on the ground, you call it dabba. Doesn't matter if it's small or big, okay. So these five things are lawful for you to kill it, regardless if you are in a state of ihram or not in a state of ihram. Regardless if you are in Mecca or outside of Mecca. Why? Because the harm that they will cause to the human being, okay, is serious harm that they can cause it to the human being. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about the scorpion, and a kitty, and a crow, a rat, and biting dog. Okay, the wild dog. Okay, the scorpion. I don't know if you something that has about six legs, long tail with a curve, the poison in it, and has two flung in the front, its tongue and both are poison, the two are run out. Okay? Okay. This is one. The second is hid'ah, which is similar to a bird, but a bigger, is not exactly a crow, but is no. Yeah, yes, yes.
Bird of prey, I
don't know. Yes, yes. No, not a junk bird. Or junko, okay. And they call it here a kitty, or K-I-T-E, a kitty, and a crow, and rat. Rat, the rat, mice. My assumption that this applies to the mice also, but rat can be a big one, okay? But my understanding is that anyone, okay? And wild dog, okay? A wild dog. Not to understand a dog that doesn't bother you, or yeah, but is a wild dog, kalb al-aqur. And this, muttafaq alayh, is in the collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned only about these five things of those snakes been known to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so we could not extended to other things, because this is the thing that the Prophet ﷺ said, that khawatik, they're extremely in their attack or their harm to the human being. And for the Muslim, the person in a state of al-ihram, by telling these things, he doesn't have to make like expiation or pay something for what he did. And although that you may find these things in the inside Mecca, being inside the holy city does not give them the protection. Some scholars, like the sister, she said, like the snake, and everybody can go now having a bad list, you understand? But some scholars, they said, or they understood, that this is not like that the Prophet was given only example. Okay? But anything which you can have for, or will present harm to you, that you can do it. Okay? That you can kill it, if it's going to be harm for you, insects or animals. But my understanding, Allah knows best, that is limited to these five things. Because it can be a snake, and can be the wolf, and it can be fox, and can be, you can name it, it can be many, many, it can be a long list, you understand? Allah knows best. Hadith number 602, page number 254. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو محرم, متفق عليه. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had performed on him a qabin while he was in a state of al-ihram. This hadith is authentic. And the cupping is taking the blood out of the body. Okay, it can be from the forehead or from the shoulder, knees, in the back. It's a means to take, like you say, we call it bad blood. Okay, especially for headache, very severe headache. This one of the ways it used to be used, and there's still some people using it. And they have a method to suck after they cut lightly with razor blade in your forehead or in your back of your neck, that they have a method of sucking the blood until the blood stops coming out, and this will be some kind of release. So the hadith shows that this kind of treatment, it doesn't violate your state of al-ihram or hajj. And will be also applied to just anything that means bleeding in general, okay? Or car accident or operation, if it's necessary to be done while you are in the state of al-ihram, is not going to spoil your hajj, okay? Or being in the state of al-ihram, that is okay, that you can go and do this. Hadith number 603, عن كعب ابن عجرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قلت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حملت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والقمل يتناثر على وجهي فقال ما كنت أرى الوجع بلغ بك ما أرى أتجد شاحا قلت لا قال فصم ثلاثة أيام أو أطعم ستة مساكين لكل مسكين نصف صاع متفق عليه. This one of the companions, which his name is Ka'b ibn Ujra, may Allah be pleased with him, he then carried to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he could not even go walk with the Prophet because he had a problem with L-I-C-E, light. Anybody know what light? Oh, I don't know, you know it here. Is little stuff that goes special in the hair, okay? And basically, it starts maybe because people leave their hand dirty and, okay, and discretion in their hair, or Allah knows this, but it comes as a result of all being not clean and so it starts to grow and it can multiply very fast. Okay? So this Sahabi been afflicted by this lice to such a degree start to even come all over his face. And they carry him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, oh, I didn't know that it was so serious like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, does he have a she? Okay? Because he will slaughter it as a sacrifice and will go ahead and remove all his hair, shave the hair. This will be the best, you understand? Some people they use kerosene to kill it. Some people they get black flag or whatever. Some people put powder. They have a different treatment. Some people they use this very thin comb and they brush, they comb the hair with it until they make sure that everything came out. But actually, one of the treatment is shaving the hair. Because you may take the lice itself, but the egg is still there. Okay? Don't ask me how much I know about it. Why? How come I know about
it?
You think you know. Okay. But sometimes the eggs also can be understood in a couple of days. Will. Okay? Yeah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him is for him to make a fidya. That means like a ransom, what you call ransom, that you tell the sham, the sheep, you go ahead, shave your head, because you are in a state of ihram. Being in a state of ihram, you are not supposed to shave your hair or cut it. So now since you're going to violate one of the things of ihram, now you're going to kill a sheep and give it to the poor and needy. So this Sahabi, he didn't have enough money to buy or to distribute this source. The Prophet said to him, fast 3 days or feed 6 poor people for everyone half star. Okay, like you fill your hands twice, okay, and 2 of them will be enough for 1 poor person. Okay? And from this hadith we understand that it's prohibited for the person to shave or to cut his hair during state of al-ihram. Okay? And if, no. Only in case of sickness or fearing, okay, that as example, a person, some people, if he takes his hat off, the people, day and night, they have to have their hat on. And hat, a kufi, turban, whatever it is. As soon as you remove it, they will get sick. So this will be violation for what you're supposed to wear. Okay? So you can wear it, but you're going to have to make this expiation or this figure. Okay? So if you could not, now we'll go to the fasting, observing the fasting for 3 days, or feeding 6 poor people. So only if a person is sick, now will be the permission that he can violate this rule of the clothes or the shaving or whatever it is. Hadith number 604 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لما فتح الله على رسوله مكة قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الناس فحمد الله وأثنى عليه ثم قال إن الله تعالى حبس عن مكة الفيل وسلط عليها رسوله والمؤمنين وإنها لم تحل لأحد كان قبلي وإنما أحلت لي ساعة من نهار وإنها لن تحل أحد بعدي فلا ينفر صيدها ولا يختلى شوكها ولا يحل ساقطتها إلا لمنشد ومن قتل له قتيل فهو بخير النظرين. قال العباس إلا الأذخر. يا رسول الله فإنما him this speciality, okay, and Allah has made it only for a small certain hour during the day for him to take care of this business, okay, when he came with the soldiers, the believers, and with his weeping, but alhamdulillah was no any wars took place, so it was something special and is not supposed to be done anymore, okay. So it was like an exception for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah has permitted for me only and the believers with me in the time during 1 hour during the day. And it's not supposed to be for anybody after me. Okay? So, not anybody. No love for anyone after me. The gains is not to be molested or disturbed. The hunting, birds, animals, no one has the right. Okay, so it's not only a matter of wars and fighting, no easing, no disturbance for the birds, for the animals. Okay. Huh? Everything. Okay, except these 5 things that we spoke about. Okay? You could not disturb or molested it. Games, that mean birds and things like this. Songs, not to be cut. Okay? Songs, not to be cut. Anything which falls in it is not lawful, only for the one to announce it. Like you did not find somebody's wallet and you take it. You don't find 100 riyal and take it and keep walking. Okay? Everything secret, okay? Everything is secret. You could not find something in the ground and take it and walk. Only you pick it up to what? To declare it and to announce about it, who lost his wallet, who lost this, okay? And if anyone, the relatives of him, been killed, you could not go and kill the killer. But you have the choice, okay? You have the choice between taking the money or that you request for qisas, okay? And the ruler, the person in charge, okay, he will impose this punishment, but not from one to one and everybody go and take it in his hand and do whatever he wants, okay? To somebody kill your father, you could not go kill this person. The family of this person going to have to pay, or that you will request for an equal punishment, that for him to be killed, and the person, the ruler who's in charge, is the one who do this. You don't have the right to go and kill him.
How do you deal with crimes that have to delay the punishment of after?
No, we're talking about any crime. You don't have to be in the state of Ahram or no. Any, we're talking about Mecca now. They do it. The government takes, you understand, if a person is supposed to be killed, he'll be killed. If a person, his hand needs to be cut, they cut his hand. After Jum'ah, while the people coming, they have a big square which people gather and they bring the person, the criminal there, and they do the punishment there. Okay? So,
you're going to say, you can watch somebody be punished?
Uh-huh. This has nothing to do with this, okay?
What about if the person that committed the crime was in a state of Abraham?
You have to ask my sheikh about it.
Okay.
How about a person in a state of Ihram? Is the Prophet telling you about even the stones? Don't grab the stones, you understand? Leave it, and you're going to go take somebody's blood? So you better stay home in your country, don't go make hajj, you understand? We're telling you that animals, you could not touch the birds, you could not, you understand, cut the stones, you could not scare the birds, you could frighten a bird, you understand, you are not supposed to do it.
Now you're going to go take somebody and kill him and he's killing fish for him.
You did say people do come to steal.
Yeah, how do you do that? I don't think they come in a state of Raham now. A lot of this. Okay. So Al-Abbas asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning some special, what you call it? No, it's not a tree, it's like a grass or something like this. Something grow because you use it for you understand? Yeah, something special one called al-arkhur. So because they had a specialist smell and they use it to put it in the grave, okay, and they put it also in their houses. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave exception to al-arkhur only. Other than this, he could not cut a tree. Okay? Everything, regardless if you are in a state of ihram or you are not. In Mecca, the surrounded area, the city limit, you could not do any of these things. If you are in the state of ihram, even out Mecca, you could not do anything. Okay? Now, it depends, are you are in a state of ihram or not. If you are in a state of ihram, you could not hunt, you could not shave, you could not marry, you could not marry somebody, you could not propose, all the things, okay? If you are in Mecca and you are not in Ihram, you could not frighten the birds, you could not hunt there, you could not pick the thorns, you could not pick up something somebody lost and take it home, all the things.
The whole city of Mecca.
Yeah. Hadith number 605 from Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal inna Ibrahima harrama Makkah wa da'a li ahliha wa inni harramtu al-Madina kama harrama Ibrahimu Makkah wa inni da'atu fi sa'iha wa muddiha bimithli ma da'a bihi Ibrahim li ahli Makkah. Hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Zayd, the hadith is authentic. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that Ibrahim had declared Mecca to be a secret place. The Prophet Ibrahim declared Mecca to be a secret. And we explained just now, yes.
How would you deal with the cousins you're driving in the outskirts of Mecca and you hit an animal? What did you do?
Okay.
You caused accident.
Okay. We'll get to this, inshallah. Do you have insurance? Do you have driver license? This is what I was.
Yeah.
That Ibrahim had declared Mecca to be secret. And he invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for its people. And I, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will declare Al-Madinah to be a secret place. Same way like the Prophet Abraham declared Mecca to be a secret place. And I invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi sa'iha and muddiha. I make dua to Allah to bless the scale and the measurement of Al-Madinah the same way that Ibrahim called in Allah to bless the scale and the measurement of Mecca. So from this hadith, we understand that Medina is a secret place like Mecca. By the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I declare Medina. Like the Prophet Ibrahim declared Mecca, I'm declaring the Medina, and I'm calling Allah for blessings to the people of Medina the same way like Ibrahim. Make dua for the people of Mecca. And then making dua that Allah bless their food, their measurement, their scale, the same way. Okay? Not to my knowledge. And Allah knows this. Okay? So, Medina is also sacred place the same way like Haram. You could not hunt the animals, you could not all the things. Okay? That also the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He had put it in the people of Medina. As a result of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the food of the last hadith for tonight, inshallah, hadith number 606 page number 256. وعن علي ابن ابي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة حرام ما بين عير الى ثور. اوكي زيس حديث ان كلتنا الامام مسلم reported by علي رضي الله تعالى عنه. I don't have a specific destination, but the hadith shows you that there is a certain area, what you may call it, a city limit for Al-Madinah, that became also haram, that is secret, okay? So, from the south is Eir, the mountain, okay? Or the area called Eir, and from the north is Thawr and Al-Harra from the east, but basically when you go you will find what you may call it landmark, understand, which shows you that this is the skirt or the city limit of Al-Madinah, and inside this you could not be doing any of these things. And excuse my my speech for tonight, and I have to cut the class short because I have a problem. And alhamdulillah that Allah blessed me to be able to reach to the end of this chapter. So inshallah, the week coming, Tuesday, we talk about Sufat al-Hajj and how you're supposed to enter Mecca and how you make the tawaf, and we talk about the actual Hajj inshallah. Hopefully that we finish until hadith number 644. So we planning to try to cover 35 hadith for the next class inshallah, and after this we're going to have a short chapter concerning Hajj, and after this we'll go about showing videos and books and material concerning Hajj, and also to try to do things like showing you how to dress, how to wear, how to do things before. So we have one full class. And after this, the second class after this, which will be the fourth class, that we going to, anybody have any material concerning Hajj, books, videos, slideshow, please bring it so we can present it. Not this coming class, the class after this class, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this.
Question. How would you think if a woman had to travel with a mahram and you use some examples and you can't go outside of that. The person doesn't need to be able to do that. You see, if you go to Mexico, you can shorten off the map. That's considered traveling there. Now, that's all. Because it's considered traveling for women. That's considered traveling.
No, this is not a problem for women. I said a woman going in the city limit like Lexington and Katy and all the things, which inside Colombia, this is not a traveling. It doesn't require a mahram. If she's going to place like Charlotte, now we consider this as a traveling. This is not Colombia anymore. Okay, this is not South Carolina anymore. She is traveling. She needs a mahram and she's a must. And there is no any school of thought, not Ahmed ibn Hanbal, not Imam Malik, not Imam Shafi'i, not anybody said is lawful. Okay, the only exception that we made, that some scholars understood from the action of Ibn Umar, from the action of Umar radiallahu an, when he told the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death to Hajj. So we said some scholars understood from this the permissibility of woman going for Hajj without mahram. This is the only kind of problem. The only kind of traveling is permitted by the scholar. Okay? That a woman can go without a mahram, and the condition that it has to be a rifqa ma'muna min al-nisa, to be a crowd group of women in safety, believers women going with her. Okay? And also other condition that is not is optional Hajj. That means this is the first time for her to go to Miss Hajj. Now, if she needs this requirement, this condition, now she can go to Hajj and Allah knows this.
What about women making hijrah or in fear of Allah?
Okay, this is something called like emergency. In case of emergency, like a woman has to run from state to state or from country to country, fear of her life, that if she didn't make this move, that she will be present, she will be killed, she will be whatever it is, okay, or somebody may be attacking her, whatever it is, she will go. She will go, she don't wait for anything, okay? The hijra, if it's not going to be a hijra of every day, like every day, you go from state to state and city to city, and say I'm making hijra, and next hijra, and next hijra, yes, she can go, okay? Like, as example, there are people going to go, live in California, and they're going to go to East Orange, New Jersey, as example, or come to South Carolina, okay? Or they're going to go to Yemen, or going to Egypt, and she could not have any mahram with her. We tell her, you go, and after you reach there, this is for you. The Allah will say,
Fadl.
That's Sheikh Abdul Allah.
An example of Amr radiallahu anhu.
This is true, this is understanding of some of the scholars that they said that the women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the mahram because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbid anybody to marry them after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so this is considered as mothers. But we understand that Aisha, as example, Ummu or Hafsa, none of them, because she's a mahram, she will take her headpiece off in front of Umar, as example, or in front of Abu Bakr. So the mahramiyah here is special kind of mahramiyah concerning marriage, not other things, and Allah will test. But the approval of the Sahaba that is considered like ijma', they did not object to the action of Umar. But some scholars, for sure, that some scholars, they said no for the woman, no traveling, even if it's hajj, even the first hajj, okay? And they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that لِمَنْ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and that she has no sabil. And one of the sabil, one of the means is to have a mahram, okay? But anyway, I said it in the last class that there is no clear-cut evidence from Quran or hadith that a woman can go to Hajj without a mahram, and this will be established later on by understanding from the action of Umar. I made this clear last week. So we respect this opinion, and if somebody will feel or believe or preach that a woman doesn't go for Hajj without a mahram, we could not tell him that you are wrong. We could not. Okay? And if we hear that somebody says, yes, it's permissible with these conditions, there is other people who are more scholarly and more learned than us, they have said this, and we only repeating what they said, and Allah knows it. JazakAllah khair. Anybody else? Any comments? Any correction? We still have 3 minutes. Oh, no. Okay, this is okay. No, excuse me, I forgot that we're supposed to make a comment. Go ahead, Fadl.
A woman is a Muslim, all of her mahram, all of you, a man,
I understand. A mahram, what we call a mahram, is a man who is forbidden to marry this woman under any condition. Okay? The imam could not be a mahram for her, neither you, neither me. Okay? But we say, she don't have a mahram, but she will be with a group of women, okay, that حيث تنعدم الخلوة, okay, حيث تنعدم الخلوة ويؤمن عليه. So that means there is no privacy going to be taking place between this woman and other men because there is a trustworthy group of women traveling with her. But a man could not be a mahram for the woman even if he's 100 years old. He's still a man and she's still a woman, even if all her family are kuffar. So she has to be patient. Allah didn't call, Allah didn't, but sometimes I understand you could not help your feeling. Say, okay, what I'm going to do now? I want to see Mecca, I want to make Hajj, I want to do this. So inshallah, we say maybe Allah make a way for her that she can go. If she wants to be patient, she will get the reward. She will still get the reward for Hajj because she wants to go, but she don't have a mahram. Otherwise, let her go get married. If there is no necessity, the question for the brother here, if she don't have a mahram, if her father can be a mahram for her, he can be a mahram for her as long as he's a person has this dignity and what you call, that means her father is not going to see her holding to somebody's hand or somebody kissing her, and his father will be standing doing nothing. He'll be smiling. And after this, she can say, nice meeting you. So this kind of people could not be mahram. You see? He can be mahram if he has the moral. Okay? Doesn't matter if he's a Christian or a Jew or whatever it is, but he still has this respect and the moral of family that he will have jealousy to see his daughter or his sister or somebody talking fresh to her. He say, hey, what's going on? You understand? And you should know that there is a Christian family, they have this moral. That there is people who are Christian and they have these things about you don't have this boyfriend and girlfriend business and people coming in the house and talking and privacy. No, they don't have this business, okay? And after 6 o'clock, you understand, the girl in the house and all this routine. The rich family is still holding to this principle. We have to close here because we have to consider other people. They have to travel, they have to go back to their jobs and whatever it is. So inshallah we'll continue next week. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Thank you.
And Allah nuzdish. Wa iyyakum. Jazakumullah khairan.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Barakallah. The assembly. Somebody can help to take this stuff, please.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
مسألة قبل مين تسيني بدون